The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Lift your hands, let's bless Jesus this morning. All over this place, your hands, your voice, let it rise in this place. He is Jesus. He is Jesus. I want your voice to fill this room. In thanksgiving. In thanksgiving this morning to Jesus. To Him, the Father revealed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. Mena go shadea. Before the throne is where we've come to offer praise. Do you know that song?
And sing with love, you have sown the veil.
Yeah, you know it.
Let's ever raise
no more outside.
No more outside.
Oh, yes.
Now we
sit before the throne. Bring it up a little.
It's where we've come
to offer praise.
To offer praise. And sing with song. You have sown the
veil.
That's ever raised.
No more outside.
No more. Sing with us,
you
have
We cast ourselves down. Just pray in the Holy Ghost and bless Him. We cry, Holy, Thou art holy. There is none like You. In Your presence is where we live now. Thousand generations calling down in worship, sing the song of ages to the land. I want your hands lifted to heaven. I know you know this song. Oh yes. A thousand generations.
Falling down in worship, sing the song of ages to the land.
And all of God before us,
all of God before us,
all who will believe.
Oh yes, we'll sing the song of ages.
Sing the song of ages to the land.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus. So we have been forgiven.
We have been redeemed.
Say your testimony.
We sing the song of heaven to the Lamb.
Oh yes. We walk in freedom, singing.
Since we walk in freedom.
Since we bear His name.
Since we bear His name.
Let's sing the song forever.
Sing the song forever.
Without the instruments. Just the church. Say your name, your name.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all.
All thrones and dominions. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh yes. Are you excited to be here this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. His name is the highest, you know. Are you grateful to God for the month of June? God's been faithful. He's so amazing. Remember that song.
Great is your love for me.
You load me with mercy.
You load me with mercy in the morning and goodness at night. In and out of season, I'm basking in your
grace. You say it's so. Great is your love for me, come on.
Great is your love for me.
You load me with mercy.
You load me with mercy in the morning.
In and out of season, come on.
In and out of season, I'm basking in your grace.
Together, but the media, they are totally out of the service. So maybe later when they return, we'll sing again. So I hope you guys come back from where you went to. Are you ready for the word this morning?
Yes.
Help me walk up to 3-4 persons. Now don't rush this. Just say something really nice to them. Find out who they are. Something really, really, really nice from your heart. Whatever you think is nice enough. Make that guy comfortable to sit by your side. Something really nice to them. So good to see you this morning. Yes, yes, yes. We celebrate you. We celebrate you. God bless you. God bless you. Have your seat. All pastors, ministers, and all our guests this morning across all the centers. Can we celebrate all the centers joining us this morning? We celebrate the people joining us from Abakiliki Center. We celebrate you guys from Soka Center, Obolo Center, Agbani Center, Lagos Center. Glory to God. Where else am I living in this place? I've mentioned that place. Funai. And all of them will celebrate. We celebrate people join us from outside the country. Celebrate the streaming centers in Accra, Ghana, and the UK and other places. We love you. And I know some of these places, you're making a lot of sacrifice to join us because of your time. Right? Because I know the time zone difference, but it's still okay. You're making a sacrifice. We are making a sacrifice to be here to teach you. So everybody's sacrificing something. And you are getting blessed. Are you not getting blessed? You know, if I had time, how many of you know they were having a talk show about friendships in church? Were you blessed by that? Is there anybody here that can say that friendship, maybe a friend or a particular friendship you made in this church has changed you in any way, has affected in any way? Is there anybody that wants to say something about that? Who wants to say something about that? Anybody? You can raise your hand. There's someone you just met in the church that affected maybe your spiritual life, your business, your relationship, your maybe even met and got married. Glory to God. So I want something about that. I want to just get one or two persons. Anybody? I want to talk. Okay, give Jennifer the mic. Yes, just quickly. Just start talking. Yes.
When I joined church, I had to let go of my friends then because we are no longer vibing to the same things. And I really trusted God for good friendship. So when I came in, I think one of the greatest friendships I made was with Vicky. And it changed my life. Not just spiritually, but when it has to do with business, like when my head is touching small, like everything is just bago. I reach out to her and it changes everything. It gives me a new perspective. And she's a good competition in the sense like when she's just giving me some of the things she's doing, I feel like, am I a spoon? Apart from the whole spiritual things too, but it has just been wonderful since then.
Okay, beautiful. Who wants to say something else about? Okay, give Debbie. Maybe I'll take a guy after that.
Okay, praise God. Friendship in PG has really changed my life for the best. When I came, like so many people here, we didn't know anything about crypto. But it was PG that we learned about crypto. It changed our lives, so many of us here. The very first thing to go to Sister Vic. And it taught me about I knew about honor, but honor of God, BG. Thank you, Minister Angel, for helping me with. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Who wants to say something else? Any guy? I wish a guy can say so. I want a guy to talk. Okay. Yes. Get the mic to him. Start talking before they come. Brother Chinedu changed his life. Praise God. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, he helped a lot. He helped my spiritual life even at a young age. He would always tell me the importance of reading the Bible. He that taught me how He's the one that taught me how to pray in the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
he's
yes,
the
yes.
one that me saved. And he I am bringing more people to church because of him. So, I love him so much.
He loves you so much. Praise God. Well, I wish we could take more. But the only thing about it is, I'm just trying to say, church is not just what happens when I'm preaching. That's the truth. It's not just what happens when I'm preaching. What happens when I'm preaching is just a fraction of church. The real thing is, part of what happens also is the fact that
You have to interact with people. Yeah, I know a lot of people here that came in here. When you hear we all say, people came in here broke and they became rich. Yes, I pray, but it's my prayers, but it's not just the prayers standing on its own. Sometimes when I pray, one person gets to talk to one person and say, there is this business deal on. You know, it's funny how people get to club houses and they make friends. They get to beer parlors, they make friends. And they come to church, they just isolate. That's what we're trying to correct. Okay, meet people, talk to them. And it's not, I'm not talking about connect so I can enter a relationship. Everything is not marriage. You, at the end of the day, you only marry one man or one woman at the end of the day. But you need many people in your life. You see now, so when you come around church, after service, don't just zoom off. You're walking too fast for your own good. Let somebody talk to you. And after that, when they call you, pick your phone. Just say, it's not my topic today. I'm just trying to talk about the talk show. And that was very wonderful. You know, it helps you know that you can actually build. I can tell many stories and of connections. It happens almost every week. Even this last week, someone was in my office talking about a church member, talking about entering a business partnership with someone. You know, they met in church too. So a lot of things will go on here. And the good thing about it is, if you're careful, you meet the right people. You meet people who are spiritually, you know, inclined to think the same way with you, right? That see things from the same perspective that you see. And then it helps you build a stronger work. So when you come around there, make friends, talk to people, say hi to them. Don't just run home. And don't think that everybody that is approaching you that is of the opposite sex wants to ask you out. For all you care, they might be engaged. They are just getting reaching out to you and saying hi. So it's not to overthink things. Say amen. Amen. But then you, brother, if you really mean more, my God, don't be buying Milo and saying nothing. They'll drink your Milo. Praise God. I don't know what bringing this talk this morning. But are you happy to be here this morning?
Yes,
that's the first time I'm having a combined service this year. And it's good to see all of you at once. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's get to the word this morning. We've been on a series, and I know some of you are coming here for the first time. And some centers are joining us for the first time today. But I'm going to handle this series in a way that even if you're hearing it for the first time, you can be able to pick up, you know, from where we stop. This is God Uncensored. That's the teaching. God Uncensored is a teaching on the character and the nature and the personality of God. Part what now? This is part 9. So it's been a long ride. Trust me, this might get to part 12 or 15. So we're going to pause after today, then get to start the fire. After start the fire, we pick up again. Until we exhaust everything God wants us to exhaust. You know, our series are not particularly tied to moons. If at the end of the month the Lord says we are done with it, fine. If not, we just keep going and keep going and keep going. We are here on Thursday. Why such a time on Thursday, man? You guys didn't even let me preach at all. For that Thursday, I didn't even get into my notes at all. I was just laying foundation and our time was up. But it was such a beautiful time. So this is also another clue to say stop missing Thursday services. So we are looking at God. The need to understand God. Who God is. If you understand who God is, it will help your relationship with Him. Many people are serving a God they don't know. Or a God someone told them about. Or a God they think is like this. If you follow this in this series, you would have seen that many things you believed about God have been totally wrong. Totally wrong. And I can't begin to tell you how much testimonies are pouring in every day from these teachings. Somebody was even telling me, you know, how she has been sharing this particular series with a friend of hers who has been having some tough times and how God has been working mightily. You know, when you understand someone better, you can have a stronger relationship with the person just because of that understanding. It changes a lot of things. It changes a lot of things. And so it helps your relationship with God and all of that. On Thursday, we're trying to look at prophetic words. That's what I was trying to get into on Thursday. When God says a thing, because I have many people that say things like, you know, when God says a thing, it must come to pass. That's a very sweet statement and a very religious statement, but that is not correct. Right? Now, because we are talking about the sovereignty of God, say, when God says a thing, it must come to pass. That is sweet, that is interesting, that is religious, that looks spiritual, but it's not correct. And it's not correct, not because God's word can fail. God's word cannot fail. But God's word can fail in your life. And that is to show you that when God says a thing to you, that thing is settled. But there is a way you must respond and relate with that particular thing God has said for it to not happen in your life. A good example I always give about this is salvation. What is the will of God for every man on earth? That men be saved, right? 2 Peter 3 verse 9. God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. But the question is, are all men saved? Will all men be saved? Even though God wills it for them, not everybody will have it. It tells that even when God wills a thing for you, you must be able to respond to it in a certain way for it to come to pass. I follow what I'm saying now. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4 tells us that God, wants all men to be saved. Give me that verse. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. He said, who will have all men to be saved? That's God's plan. That all men be saved. But eventually all men will not be saved. Not because God's God doesn't want it, but because even though God has a will, he doesn't force his will on man. That same way, when God gives you a problem, when we come up to you and say, thus says the Lord, you are going to become this. Or maybe you are even praying on your own and God just drops a word in your heart. Say, I'm going to make you this and that. The mistake you will make is to think that since God have said it, all I can just do is to relax and watch it unfold. That's not correct. Are you following me? If you relax to watch it unfold, it will unfold into failure before your eyes. And then you will go all over the place complaining. And I normally say this when the year begins to come to an end. From November, December, that meme will start coming up on Facebook again. I'm looking for that pastor that said this year was my year. Have you seen all those memes? That pastor will explain to me how this year is my year and all of that. People are trying to blame pastors. My pastor said this, my year of this, nothing happened to me. You know what they realize? When God says a thing, God doesn't leave the fulfillment of that thing totally to himself. That he doesn't involve you. The reason is this, God is love. And one quality of love I've taught you is that love does not insist on its own way. Love doesn't force things on people. So when he says a thing, there is a posture you must take to show love that you want what it is bringing. I feel I'm talking about. Imagine we come up to you and we give you a prophetic word. I thought says the Lord, you're going to be a minister. God is going to use you all over the world. And then you go from there, you don't read your Bible. You don't even pray. You don't even come to church. Can I announce to you, it will not happen. You will live all your lives and all you have is, thus says the Lord, but it will not happen. That's why the Bible said in Psalm 115 verse 14, it said the heaven, even the heavens belong to the Lord. He said the earth has he given to the sons of men, children of men. Not 115 verse 14, give me that verse. Is it verse 14 or verse 16? Look for the verse. The heaven belong to the Lord. He said the earth has he given to the children of men. Yes, verse 16. So it is men that run this. So when God says a thing, man has to cooperate. For instance, God has willed salvation for you. How do you cooperate with that? You have to believe. Are you following what I'm saying now? And so we must find how to, respond to the things God says to us, right, for them to come to pass. In fact, it would be good for me to even show you. Let me see how far I can go. It's good for me to show you that there are different categories when God speaks to you. There are different categories that these words come. For instance, there are things that God will say to you, for instance, that must happen. Please note what I'm going to say. There are things that God will say to you that must happen. Must is the word. Whether you do anything about it or not. There are certain words like that must happen. Most times, there are words around the plan of God for his kingdom on earth. For instance, a perfect example, when God gave the word about the birth of Jesus, that word must come to pass. Are you following what I'm saying now? For instance, the prophecy about the second coming of Christ must happen. But hear what I'm going to say. Another example is when God says, I'm bringing a revival to Enugu State. That must happen. He has said it. However, man still has a role to play. Because if one has a role to play. If man doesn't play his role well, even though that one must happen, but it can be delayed. I give an example. There's a prophecy about the second coming of Christ. We know that, right? Jesus is coming back again. But do you know that that prophecy still has man involved in it? The Bible said this gospel of the kingdom must be preached throughout all the earth. Then the end will come. So the coming of the Son of Man is still tied to how far we go with the gospel around the world. Are you what I'm talking about? So even though those words, there are certain words that must happen, man's response can either delay it or hasten it up. So if God says there's a revival that will come to Enugu, there's a way we're going to position ourselves, it will happen now. There's a way we'll position ourselves, it will keep delaying. It will eventually come to pass, but it may happen 10 years after. 50, it may not even happen in our lifetime. Are you what I'm talking about, friends? So there is that category of word where God says a thing about the spread of his kingdom that must happen. However, man must cooperate with it. If not, it will be delayed. So ask me what is keeping the return of Jesus. The church has not gone forth with the gospel as we should. The prophecy is very clear. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the end of the world. He said, then the end will come. So you notice, even though it's something God wants to do, which will eventually happen, man still has to play a role. So what God is doing is tearing the heart of many people and giving them initiatives and ideas to the spread of the gospel so that eventually what he has willed will come. That's Matthew 24 verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end will come. So the coming of the end is tied to the spread of the gospel around the world. Are you getting what I'm talking about, friends? Are you following me? And so you notice, even though when God says it, there are certain things that when God says it must happen, man has a role to play. That's another category of word, for instance, where God is just talking to you, and this one is very serious, where God is just talking to you about the plans of the devil for your life. So if you have to realize that when you are praying, for instance, and you see an accident, God is not showing you that you are going to get involved in an accident. God is rather showing you what the devil has planned with the intention that he will avert it. Are you following what I'm saying? So when I walk up to you and I'm prophesying to you, I say, you know what? I see death. That's why, hear what I'm going to say. Any man of God that prophesies anything negative and says to you that no matter what you do, it must happen, is not speaking for God. God doesn't reveal for revealing's sake. I'll say that again. Any man of God that prophesies anything negative to you and tells you that no matter what you do, it must happen, is not speaking for God. He's speaking for himself or for the devil. There is no place in the Bible where something negative was revealed without an intention to change it. An example, for instance, is Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah went to Hezekiah and told Hezekiah to prepare his house, that he was going to die. Isaiah 38 from verse 1. He said, prepare your house, thou shalt die. When you read this verse 1, you will think that Isaiah was saying, God wants to kill you. But Isaiah said, thus says the Lord, set the house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Thus says the Lord means this message came from the Lord. It doesn't mean that is what the Lord wants. So, not all prophecies reveal the will of God. Come on, are you what I'm talking about here now? Not all prophecies reveal the will of God. And so what did Hezekiah do? Hezekiah prayed. And when he prayed, the Lord told Isaiah to go back and go and tell him he will no longer die. So indeed, when such prophetic words come, what God is not saying is that you must die, whether you like it or not. Are you following what I'm saying? God is actually showing you what the devil has intended for you, which you can let happen or refuse to happen. Are you still here? Another example, for instance, is Acts chapter 11. There's a prophet in the Bible called Agabus. Agabus prophesied that there will be a famine. Give me that verse, Acts 11 verse 28. Agabus prophesied that there will be a famine. Before Acts 11, I'm coming to Agabus shortly. In Luke 22 verse 31, let me look at that one. Luke 22 verse 31, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat. He revealed Satan's intention to Peter. So Jesus did not say you must be sifted like wheat. Jesus just said that's what Satan wants to do. So you have to realize when you are praying and you see an accident, or you are praying and you see death. You know, there are people that say things like, once I see a bad dream, it must happen. Are there people like that? Now let me tell you. If that's the case with you, you are not handling what God is showing you well. Once you see a bad dream, it shouldn't happen. Is someone following me at all? Now that is that, because God doesn't reveal for revealing sake. Once I see a bad dream, let me tell you, once God ever speaks to me about anything that is not positive, I can tell you it will not happen. I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen. Because God is speaking to me, He's trusting me with that information. So there are words that God will give you. So what did Jesus do? He said, the devil has planned to sift you as wheat. Next verse. But I have. So he prayed over the matter. That's why even though Peter denied Jesus eventually, he wasn't sifted like wheat. He didn't leave the faith. He didn't leave the journey. Because somebody prayed for him. So what God revealed to Jesus did not eventually happen. Are you following me? Do you know, let me give a perfect example. Do you know that if Peter had prayed when Jesus told him to pray, when Jesus took them to go and pray, he slept off 3 times. Do you know if he had prayed, he wouldn't have denied Jesus? Even though Jesus said it. Jesus didn't say you will deny me because he wanted to derive pleasure in the fact that I'm a prophet and anything I say will happen. If not, why did he take them to go and pray? Are you what I'm talking about, friends? He took them to go and pray because he wanted that thing not to happen. So prophetic words do not come in a way such that it must happen. No. Some of those words actually consider that they will not happen. Are you following me, friends? Now, there's another category of prophetic word where God can show you things that the devil is planning, actually, that will eventually happen. Not because he wants it to happen, but because other men have played a role. You know, this is man's earth. But what he will now do in showing you those ones is that he will try to exempt you from it. An example is Jesus. When Jesus was young, a prophetic word came, or God showed Joseph that Herod was going to kill, was coming for the child. God was not going to stop Herod because Herod had made up his mind to do it. What did God do? Take the child and run. So every time God brings a word, there is a solution following it. I follow him, you. So what God did not say to Joseph is, Herod is coming to kill this child. I'm not saying so that you will know whether I like it or not, this child is going to die. No, God doesn't speak like that. God still leaves the end of that word to man. So let me ask you, if Joseph did not run with the child, do you know that they would have gotten Jesus as a baby? And that will not be because God said it. That way, because man did not respond well. Is someone following me this morning at all? So you notice you must play a part in prophecy. An example is that Acts 11 I mentioned earlier, verse 28. Agabus prophesied, for instance, that there will be a famine. A famine. Praise God. And that famine came to pass. Because it was going to come to pass. But notice what happened. After the prophecy came, the believers in Jerusalem contributed food. And sent to people in Jerusalem. So that famine eventually came, but believers are not affected by it. Again, God does not reveal any negative thing because he wants it to happen. Are you following me? So if you are here and any prophet has told you about something bad coming to your family, God is saying that because he doesn't want it to happen. And you must find what you must do and take your place and make sure it doesn't happen. Are you following me? So you're a student, somebody prophesies to you, says, I see you failing. Or maybe not even someone, you are praying. Or maybe you are sleeping and you saw yourself in a dream where you wrote an exam and you failed everything. It's not to stand up and start crying. Hey, mommy, I had a dream now. So what happened? So I failed. No. God is not showing you what he wants. He's showing you what the devil wants that he doesn't want. So, for you to even start crying shows you have missed the whole game. You've missed the whole point. You're even accepting. That's why you're crying. I tell you, if I see a dream where I failed, I'll wake up and say, thank you, Jesus. Not because I'm happy that I failed. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing this, because the fact that you've revealed it means it will not happen. So I will stand my ground and make sure it doesn't come to pass. Are you following what I'm saying? So God doesn't reveal to prove to us that he's God and that it must happen. No, not at all times. Even when he reveals what his will is, man must still play a part in it. Are you following what I'm saying? So, how many of you have some prophetic words that you've received in the past and you expected it and it didn't come? Anybody here? You know, this is why people are blaming God all over the place. So this prophet, forget God is calm. He promised me. He promised me that it will happen. I waited. I prayed. I did. But it failed. God, all this prophecy, forget it. That's why you don't know God. You don't know God. Praise God. You know, a man of God came some years ago and said that God told him he was going to be president. And he eventually contested for the president and lost. Presidency and lost. He came out next year again and said God told him he was going to be president. He contested and lost. And people began to ask me, do you think God spoke to him? I told them, and I don't know, but it's possible God spoke to him. God can speak to you that you'll be president and you will lose the election. Now, when God says you will be president, he's telling you what he wants for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you need to wake up and know how God acts. Now, so how can he say it and he watch it fail? He's not watching it fail. You're the one that watched it fail. But I'm going to show you today what to do with prophecy. Are you following what I'm saying? You're the one that watched it fail. Perfect example. God has shown you're going to be a first class student, and when you graduate, you're going to get big jobs, and then you get into school, you refuse to go to class. Every morning you wake up and just stand and say, all I know is that I'm a first class student. When God says a thing, Uchech Kuge Medidi, Chidera Odesigo. Now you sit down in your classroom, you sit down in your hostel and be sleeping. Not only will you not have first class, you might not even graduate. And then you go over the place saying, God is calm. Church is calm. Church is calm. All those pastors, deceiving people with prophecy. Do you know, pastor told me I'll be a millionaire. Now I'm not even a hundredaire. Well, you know the thing about it is, when you begin to talk that way, other church people will not listen to you. Because that same word that pastor gave you, that you say did not work, he gave some other people. And they worked in their life. And it's not because God was selective. It was because of your cooperation. I've told this story many, many times. You know, when we started this church very newly, the very first days of this church, the first set of students members I had in church were students. Most of them from the law faculty, final year then. So they didn't stay long in church. They just stayed a very short time and they graduated and all of them left. And you know, when they were graduating, when they were towards the final exam, I was preaching in church and I told them, you know what the Lord said to me? That none of them was going to wait an extra year before they go for law school. And they were all so excited and they shouted amen. So when the list for law school came out, all of them got in except two people. So one of the other ladies was really very pissed. So I thought, pastor, all of us we go. She didn't tell me, but she was telling me. I thought she said all of us to go. All this promise. And yet I didn't go. I trusted everything he said. So when I heard that, and I had the person that told me, I said, go tell her that other people went, but you didn't go. So the word did not fail. It failed in your life. And she took that word very serious and personal. Do you know, for some reason, another list was released and she went. Because she went to prayer. Now, there's one more of them that did not go. I later met her and said, why didn't you go for... She said that, well, personally, she didn't want to go because her father is a barrister. The father said, I wanted to work in my chambers for 1 year before you go for law. So I decided to defy it. So you notice, it's not that God's word. Somebody didn't actually want it. And what God will not do is to say, you must have it whether you like it or not. Do you get what I'm saying? So God is not a tyrant. Even with his blessings, he's not a tyrant. He doesn't force blessing on people. He doesn't force prophecy on people. He doesn't force favors on people. Are you getting what I'm talking about here now? As I'm trying to show you something. So when God brings a word, He has revealed either his intention to you, or he has revealed the plan of the devil to you. Either ways, you have a role to play. Are you following me? You have a role to play. God told Joseph about his kingship, about that he was going to be a great man. God told David too. But they had roles to play. They didn't go sit down in their houses. They had roles to play. You know, the anointing of God came upon David to become king. But he became king after like 13 years or so. He didn't become king immediately. Now, was the word of God failing? No. He was playing parts to make sure it came to pass. So you notice God's word can fail in your life if you do not act on it. That's why I told you, when people say things like, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I always say that's not correct. God says it, that settles it. Like if you believe it, it settles you. Your faith in God's word doesn't affect God. God, his word is strong and sure. You can bank on it. What are you banking on? You can bank on the fact that if you act on it, it will work for you. Are you following me, friends? So you need to understand God, how he works, how his word works. So that you don't go all over the place joining idiots complaining on social media. Pastor said we are going to be this. Pastor said we are going to be this. After all those things that pastor said, even God, leave all this God. Somebody told me God is not real. My mother was sick. I prayed. He promised me healing. And after all the promise, I didn't see it happen. Why? If I had all this, I said, well, the point is, you are angry at a man you cannot beat. You can't even see him. And you know, this is I'm teaching. Have you ever heard people say things like, have you ever been angry at God? Let me see your hand. Sincerely, raise your hand. Angry at God. Okay. And I've heard people teach things like, forgive God. Now, that is terrible. You are only angry at God. Let me tell you why you're angry at God. You're angry at God because you don't know him. If you know God, because somebody says, God, where are you? Where is you are going wrong with me? He was there. He was there. He was lending a helping hand. You just didn't take it. And we've seen that in many places. He was lending a helping hand. You know, I can assist you. You know, I can help you. And by the time we get into the word of God, you will see how you did not take it. Not like somebody came to me. I don't have time for this, but let me just mention it. Somebody came to me and said, Dad, I've been releasing faith over this matter for months now. And I asked the person, how have you been releasing faith? He said, I've been believing God. I said, how have you been believing God? Because faith is not a passive thing. What and what were you doing within those months to show that you've been releasing faith? The person just said, I said, that's the point. So he would have done it for months and come out to say, it did not work. Faith is an active thing. If you're releasing faith, we know. I told someone, why are you not taking medication? You are sick. He said, I'm releasing faith for healing. I said, okay, what are you doing in releasing faith for healing? He said, I'm trusting God. How? I feel what I'm saying. What are you doing? What is the faith? Can you hear the main release of the faith? Just like if you are sick, you won't take medication. You wake up in the morning, you take 2 tablets. Abi, in the afternoon, 2 tablets. So what are you doing every day to show you're releasing faith? Have I used faith to fight sickness 1,001 times? But I don't just lie down in my faith and say, God, I dey look you. Now you are dey look. Like, no, that's not faith. You are good. Please, but take medication. You're going to feel better. Faith is active. We want to close a deal. So I'm releasing faith for the deal. What are you doing? I tell you one easiest thing you can do as you're releasing faith. Talk. Wake up in the morning and begin to speak. Things are turning in my favor. Say it in the morning as much as you can. In the afternoon, say it again. At night, say it again. Keep saying it. There is no faith without speaking. Speaking is faith's most active and consistent action. Speaking. So most of you say, I'm releasing faith. What are you doing? Say, I'm trusting God for my business to grow. How are you doing that? How are you doing that? So you find a lack of understanding. People say, I trusted God for 8 months. Nothing happened. What? You really trusted God? We're going to get to something very shortly. Because I'm going to show you one of the major things you do in the prophetic world is to pray. So I want to talk about prayer today. I want to show you the character of God in prayer. Yeah? How God answers prayer. What? Because people, by the time you get to the Father, people say things like, sir, I prayed. By the time we open it up, we find that maybe you didn't pray. The character of God in prayer. So I've received the prophetic word. What? I should pray. But you must understand how prayer works. And how God works in prayer. Do you want to hear this? I'm going to make three statements before I start. But just foundational statements. Number one statement, which may shock some of you, but it's okay, is that God answers everyone without exception. Even unbelievers. God answers everybody's prayer. Everybody. Now, some people are adjusting on their seats. Sit well. Because something else is coming. In Matthew 7 verse 7, he said, ask, it shall be given unto you. Give me that verse. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened to you. Now, what follows next? For everyone that asketh. He said, everyone, no exception. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh. So it's an everyone thing. It's an everyone thing. Everyone. You know, in James 1 verse 5, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. All men. So that thing you've built up for yourself in your head that, you know, before God will answer you, you have to. But people say, God will answer you if you're not spiritual, if you're not serious. So before we pray, how do we pray? We first of all thank God. After we thank God, we confess our sins. Why do we confess our sins? Because the prayer of a sinner is an abomination to the Lord. You know, the problem with that statement is that the Bible, that statement is not in the Bible. Come on. I challenge you, find it. The prayer of a sinner is an abomination to the Lord. It's not in the Bible. Okay. You know, you don't have to argue with me. Just use ChatGPT or use any such. What is actually found in the Bible is that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Why? Because there is no other sacrifice accepted to God except the sacrifice of his son. So every other sacrifice of you bring is an abomination to him. It's not prayer. It's not prayer. How can you say God doesn't? You know, funny enough, people say God doesn't answer the prayer of sinners. I say, okay. But when they want to lead people to Christ, they say after me, Lord Jesus, come into my house. How can God answer that one? It's not a sinner praying. So how can you believe that when they say, Lord Jesus, come into my house, that God will hear them? But when they ask for things, God will say, I'm not going to answer you. The Bible tells us in Luke 6 verse 35. Oh, come on. He said that your father is good. Give me that verse. Luke 6 verse 35. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, come on. Glory to God. Yes, yes, yes. We are getting there. We are in Luke 6 now. It's not for us to get to verse 35. He said, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. He said, and your reward shall be great and you shall be children of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. People think God is pursuing the wicked and the evil man. The Bible says God is kind to them. Now, that's not to say that you have to be evil and wicked. I'm just trying to say that God answers everybody's prayer. Do you know? Let me tell you this. Do you know that the majority of the people... No, scratch that. Everybody Jesus healed in the four Gospels, we are not believers. The woman with the issue of blood, blind Bartimaeus, say, why? How do you know they were not believers? To start with, at the time, Jesus had not yet died and gone to the cross, you know, and all of that. So he had not even paid for their sins at the time. Do you know that some of those people Jesus healed, we are seeing other people that are joined to say, crucify him? Yet when they said, Jesus, have mercy on me, he attended to them. That is the true character of God in flesh and blood. He didn't turn anybody down on account of his sin. Are you following me this morning? So when you learn the character of God in prayer, so let me tell you, why you've not seen answers to your prayer is not because you've been missing church. Now, you shouldn't miss church, but that's not why God is not saying, so, I have church, my church is open. You refuse to go, and you're coming to ask me for things. If I answer, you call me bastard. God doesn't talk like that. Doesn't talk like that. Are you following me? He answers everyone. Go back to James 1 verse 5. Let's look at that. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to how many men? All men liberally and upbraideth not. That word is strong. Upbraideth not. Give me Amplified Classic. Watch. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God. Do you remember this teaching? You know, there was a time people used to say this was my best verse in the Bible. Now the father they're lying. let him ask of the giving God who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault. So God does not find fault in prayer. People think that when you stand to pray, God begins to analyze you. Is he wearing a pure garment or the one that has spots, raincoat? Look at, no, that's not how God answers prayer. To start with, God answers everybody. Say amen. Should I say something else? God, I said I'll make three statements. I've made the first one. And you're not yet okay. You're still feeling uncomfortable. There are bigger things coming. I said God answers everybody. That's the first thing. Second thing, God answers instantly. God answers every prayer instantly. Say, sir, wait. But sir, you are confusing me. I'm not. I'm just telling you about God from the Bible. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Jesus shared a parable. Are you following me? That men ought to pray. He told us about a man. And people normally use this parable, so we're going to look at it, to talk about God. They think, you know the parable of the unjust judge? Let's go. Verse 2. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither. So this guy was a judge. He didn't fear God. He didn't regard man. Right? Okay. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he will not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. People normally read this verse and they think he's talking about God. That when you trouble God very well, even if he doesn't want to do it, he will just respond to you. That's not what Jesus is saying. Actually, Jesus is saying the opposite. And you will see it very shortly. Now, see the next verse. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be along with them? Next verse, I tell you that he will avenge them. How? Speedily. So he's trying to actually contrast God and that judge. That the judge will take time, but God will respond speedily. So he's not saying that God is like the unjust judge, that you have to come and trouble him and trouble him and trouble him and trouble him and trouble him, and then he will say, ah, Angel Michael, who is that person worrying us? Let's attend to him before he bombards heaven. Some of you are feeling uncomfortable, but it's okay. The first time I learned this truth, I was angry too. But it starts with anger. Because you are remembering all the prayers you've prayed that I did not see the answer. So, sir, what are you saying? It's not me saying, no, it's the Bible. Isaiah 65, verse 24, talking about, you know, when Jesus, the New Testament, all of that, he said, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Who said this? God is saying it. That before you call, he has answered. While they are yet speaking, he's hearing. Now, listen to what I'm going to teach you. When you read the word of God, this is very serious now. When you read something in God's word, but it doesn't agree with your experience, don't doubt the word, doubt your experience. So it's not for you to start saying, but if it is true, first of all, let's agree that the word of God is true. So the next question I want to ask is, why is he not like that in my own life? Are you getting what I'm saying? Instead of saying, I beg, you are deceiving us, let the word, let God be true. Let all men be liars. He said before you call, he has answered. I'm going to teach you some secrets that when I learned, I've never had prayer failure in my life. And I used to say it jokingly to you guys, but you guys know it's true. If you don't want it to work, don't ask me to pray. If I pray, it must happen. And it's something I know. If I show you to, you have to have the same result. Because that's what God is, what he wants. Say, before they call, give me like NLT of that verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, I will answer before they even call to me. Why they are still talking about their needs? I will go ahead and answer their prayers. Do you believe the word of God? That's the character of God in prayer. So he answers instantly. Let me make one more scandalous statement. That's the third one. God will always say yes to your prayers. Always say yes. God can never say no to the prayer, to your prayers. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But you know, when we were growing up, they told us there are three answers that God can give to your prayer. Number one is yes. Number two, no. Number three, wait. That when you can pray, God can say yes. The Bible tells us that all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go back to that Matthew 7, verse 7. He said, ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened. In verse 8, he said, for everyone that asketh, findeth. Receiveth. Anyone that seeketh, findeth. Him that knocketh shall be opened. Verse 9, he said, and what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? So he's saying, whatever you ask God, he will give you. If he asks for fish, will you give him serpents? Verse 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? So if you have something to give to your child, you know he needs it. Will you say no? If you can't say no as a parent, why will God say no? Now somebody's going to say to me, what if the prayer is not in the will of God? Right? Let me even say to you, if you are praying outside the will of God, that's not even prayer in the first place. I'm going to show you in the Bible, just very shortly. It's not even prayer in the first place. It doesn't even count as prayer. Because the reason is because what counts as prayer to God is the prayer you pray within his will. The prayer you pray within what he promised you. I'm still going to show you very shortly. Are you following me? Which is why you cannot stand up and say in the name of Jesus, I receive to myself. Maybe you're single, a single man. And you see maybe Pastor Casey's wife. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you like her. And you now want to talk to her. They tell you she's married though. You say even though. Even though, in the name of Jesus, I receive. The Bible said, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened. So, Lord, as I begin to ask, she is mine. Now, if you now want to complicate the prayer more, say, every obstacle standing on the way. And oversee the obstacle. Every obstacle on the way. So my sword and die. Crumble before the Lord. Who are you, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? Now, God will not answer because you are not even praying. Do you know what I'm saying now? God has no business with any prayer that is not within the boundaries of his word. Are you following me? And let me tell another reason why people say they prayed but they didn't see answers. Because I said, number one, I said, if you are praying outside this will, I'm not even praying. But I want to add one more thing. There are some people that spend, I'm saying it to help you. There are people that spend hours and just talking, but they've not prayed. Matthew 6 verse 7. Let me show you this very shortly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Read with me, everybody. How come? You guys forgot your voice at home. Let's read together now. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much. So he said, do not use vain repetition. That word vain repetition is the two words, vain repetition is one word in the Greek. It's the word batologio. Batologio. You know what it means? It means empty speaking. It means to babble. It means to prate, to say many things without really saying anything. He said you will not be heard because of that, because of your much speaking. So someone wants to pray for. Give me an example of a prayer point you want to pray for. A car. And the person comes to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Ebenezer. Follow this. Jehovah Ebenezer. You are my provider. My Jehovah Shammah. Ah, what can't you do? Yahweh. You know the point is. After that, he said, ah, you gave car to my friends. You can give me car. You know the prompt? You're not praying yet. Now, everything you are saying is correct. But you've not prayed. Prayer is to say something. So, when you are saying all that, God is saying, okay, angels are happy. Okay. You now start saying, say, you are Jehovah Shammah. You are Jehovah. When you want to pray, when you are done with all of those, you say, in the name of Jesus, Father, I need car. Now, what I'm telling you, that's why if you see me here, what, pray for the sick. I don't come, this will teach you, I don't come to the sick. And I'm standing before maybe a blind person, a deaf person. And I say, Jehovah Shammah, come and do your work again. I don't do that. Jesus said we speak to the mountain. So I put my hands in the air and the name of just ear open. That's when I've prayed. There is babbling in prayer. Plenty talk. Complaining is not prayer. That's another thing people come to do. Want to ask for a car. Father, I've been trekking. It's been 6 years since I finished school. 6 solid years. When we were in school, you said you will bless me. And you yourself know how I served you. And you do that for 3 hours. I've been praying. It's not happening. You are not praying. It's very repetitions. Saying many things, but I'm not saying anything in particular. Are you following me? And that's why in prayer, you must know what you want and pray for it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So someone said, I've been praying. What have you been praying about? Have you ever seen me want to pray? Notice how we pray for supernatural help here. Pray that God provides the resources. You begin to pray. You can pray it in tongues. That's why another safe thing to do is to pray it in tongues. Because praying in tongues will always be correct. See, now just we receive the resources. We release our faith for the resources. After that, pray that God gives us favor before the people. You are praying, making demands. Because by the time I get into this, I'll show you. Angels act when you pray. You know, right? And angels walk with words. Specific words you've spoken. So when you're just praying with words and saying many things without saying anything, that is nothing to act on. So after you can make both, you come out and say, you know, you can come out and say, I prayed. We've been praying. You know, I heard a woman praying. I felt for her. You know, I just saw her. She was kneeling. She was crying. Father, who did we offend? Who did we offend? It was a very painful experience to watch. Who did we offend that we are going through all of this? Have we not served you enough? Do I not pay my tithe? She's not praying. Because at the end of the day, she's not making any request. She's blackmailing God. And it's coming from her heart. What God will just do is, in the course of midst of all of that talk, God could just look out for one thing that she said and then act on it. One, maybe, again, in the process, she just said, Father, please, she just, because in the reality, all those things, she was just talking. However, complained in prayer. The Lord, where are you? You know, some people, they come in and start shouting at God first. So you are there. You just sit in heaven playing God. All of us are suffering here on earth. You know, and they think they're praying. After they say, I spent some time praying. No. And when you ask them, what did you pray for? They say, I prayed. I told God my mind. I told him how it is in my heart. It's okay. Sometimes when you do that, it makes you feel good. Have you? Does it? Makes you feel good when you are doing it, but you've not really prayed. You've not really asked anything. You've said many good things. You've poured out your heart. But God is now saying, okay, I've heard you. So what do you, did you observe, whenever Jesus met sick people, he always asked them that question. What do you want me to do for you? Sometimes when I said anything that I felt like, come on, it's obvious. He's blind. But I've learned that you should ask that question. Because some of these beggars on the street don't want to be well. Are you aware? Some of them are begging you. You say, do you know I can pray for you to be well? They say no. A man of God actually told the story. He met a beggar. He said, can I minister to you for you to walk? He said no. He said, why? He said, because if I walk, I can no longer beg. And the man angrily said, that's why you will never walk in your life. And wherever that guy is, he's crippled now. I'm so sure he will not walk. So Jesus will say, what do you want me to do for you? They will not say that I may receive my sight. None of them picked up first and said, what kind of nonsense question is that? Because who knows? You might be shouting, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me could mean give me money. Are you know what I'm saying? Have mercy on me could mean they've booked me for surgery. Please support me to go and do the surgery. It's still mercy. Is that not mercy? So God wants to know, what do you want? So always ask me, you know, Brother Egi used to say, sometimes people come to him for prayer and he asks them, what do you want? And they say, well, nothing in particular. And he always tells them, that's exactly what we receive. Nothing in particular. Because they just come and say, God, that is good to say, you know, most times when I pray, I say, Father, bless me. Bless me is actually a good statement, but it's still vague. What do you want? Ask God for the business contract. You know this is a miracle service, Abby? So when I ask you to pray, you will know what to pray. Don't make a lot of noise. Ask God for the contract. Ask God for the healing. Ask God for the visa. Ask him for the favors. Ask him for the admission. Be specific. So that you don't say, but I prayed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you still here? So, what led me to all of this to tell that God answers every prayer? Actually, unanswered prayers is a myth. I've said that many times. It's a myth. You know, there is no, think about this. There is no teaching in the Bible, Old to New Testament, about what to do with unanswered prayers or what to do when your prayers are not answered. Not one place. Because there's nothing like that. Jesus never told us what to do when your prayers are not answered. The apostles never did. In fact, all the apostles and even Jesus spoke about answer to prayers in definite terms. When you speak, God hears. God will respond. Unanswered prayer doesn't actually exist. Are you following me? It's a myth. Somebody's going to say, sir, what of faith? What if you pray without faith? You know, I'm asking the questions you are raising in your heart because you think you know Bible too much. What if somebody's praying without faith? If you pray without, because faith is very important. Without faith, God will not hear it. Jesus never said that praying with faith will make God answer you. You know, I can write a book called Things Jesus Never Said About Prayer. James 1 verse 5, let me show you. Jesus never said that when you pray with faith, God will answer you. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and obedeth not, and it shall be given him. Simple. He didn't say bring faith or not bring faith. Somebody's going to say, sir, read the next verse. Okay, let's read the next verse. But let him ask in faith. I said, told you that faith is necessary. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Pay attention. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything. Which man is he talking about? The man that is wavering in faith. So watch what I'm going to show you. The Bible never said that when you pray with faith that God will answer. The Bible said that when you pray, God will answer. But when you have faith, you will receive what God has given. He says, it's pretty much the same thing. No, it's not. Let me use salvation as an example. Is it our prayer or our faith that brought salvation? Is it your prayer that made Jesus die on the cross? Is it your prayer that made him rise from the dead? Is it your prayer that made him offer salvation? Is it your faith that brought salvation? No. What will your faith do? Faith receives salvation. Are you following me? So if I ask anything, God answers. But if you are not acting in faith, you will not receive what God has given. The gifts of God are gifts of grace. But every gift of grace is received by faith. So, in the name of Jesus, Father, I'm praying for my admission. Once you do that, God says, done. I'm going to show you in the Bible very shortly. Every other thing that happens after that is now your process of receiving. For instance, has salvation been given? Yes. Will everybody on earth receive salvation? No. What will be the reason? Faith. So, lack of faith does not make God to refuse to give, but it can make man not to receive. Come on, I get what I'm saying. So, there are many prostitutes who are not born again, and many sinners. Has God given them salvation? Talk to me, has he? Are they saved? No. Why? They've not received the salvation that God has given. Now, that same pattern in salvation is in every other thing. So when we come to God, in the name of Jesus, I receive this. Done. You need to know God is a giver. We call him El Shaddai. You know what El Shaddai means? El Shaddai is the breasted one. I've explained that to you. The example of El Shaddai is when a woman gives birth. If a woman gives birth, her breast milk keeps flowing. If for any stupid demonic reason, she loses the baby, and there is no baby to suckle of that breast, she will be crying. It will be paining her. The pain is coming from the fact that I have so much to give, but nobody is there to take it. God is El Shaddai, the breasted one, that has so much to give. You take, he has more. Are you getting what I'm talking about? So he always wants to give. So when we ask in faith, faith will now help us to lay hold. That's what? Lambano. To lay hold on what God has given us when we prayed. Amen. So let me get to what I actually want to talk about today. Have you been blessed? Oh, we're rounding up already. And I told you, a good teacher has to lay foundation a lot. Then we'll get to it. Where I'm actually going into in this teaching is, how are prayers answered? How does God answer prayers? Because I've laid many foundations. I've shown you that, okay, God answers everyone without exception. God answers instantly. God always says yes. What happens when we pray? Now, listen to what I'm going to say. Now, what I call this actually, I don't know any place I stop, I'm going to stop. But we're going to pray very shortly. And you have your answers today. But I told you, whenever I'm teaching, when we teach, we apply. Abi? How does God answer prayer? The first thing you have to note, for instance, before we get into that again, another foundation, is that when you're praying, prayer is not an attempt to inform God about your needs, as though he doesn't know. I'll say that again. Prayer is not an attempt to inform God about your needs as though he's not aware. Matthew 6 verse 8 tells us that God knows all your needs before you ask them. Matthew 6 verse 8. He said, be not ye therefore like unto them. Because he just finished talking to us in verse 7 about people that pray with vain babblings. He said, be not like unto them. He said, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So prayer is not, let me tell God my needs. Let me inform him. Maybe he's not aware. He knows your needs. Now if he knows my needs before I pray, why do I now need to pray? And what now happens when I pray? That's what I'm trying to show you. If you get to verse, that's in Matthew chapter 6. If you get to verse 32, Jesus repeats the same thing. He said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. So you see that contract you're looking for, God already knows you have it. You want it. Are you following me? That job, God already knows you want it. So God knows. So prayer is not a way to tell God your needs. Actually, to inform you about your needs. Let me even add one more statement. Prayer is not also a way to make God to give you what you want. Because God already knows your needs, and can I say to you, he has decided to give it to you. It's not a way to make God want to give you what you want. Now, what I'm saying is, when I come to pray about a car, two things I am not doing. I'm not informing God about my need for a car. He already knows. Number two, I'm not trying to convince God to give me a car. Listen, God knows you need a car and he has decided to give you the car. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. So he has decided what to do. Are you got what I'm saying now? I mean, before you even start praying, God has made up his mind that he's going to bless you. That should be liberating enough, right? Before you start asking for healing, God has decided that he will heal you. He already knows you have the sickness. He has made up his mind on what to do. So, why are you making this statement? So that you learn that prayer is not a way to twist God's hand or to make God do anything for you. To make, you know, you are going to bombard heaven. That even if heaven is sleeping, God will arise. Listen, prayer is not a way to convince God to do anything. If God never wanted to do it, you cannot make him want to do it. You are not that powerful. If not, you'll be God. But the good thing is, he has decided on what to do. And what he decided is good. He has chosen to bless you. Do you know that when the sinner is praying the sinner prayer, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, that is not the day Jesus decides to save the person. He has decided a long time ago. Are you following what I'm saying, friends? So in prayer, you are not trying to inform God. I'm not trying to convince him. So what that tells you is that whenever you come to prayer, you are coming first of all to a God who knows your needs. Secondly, to a God who is willing to meet your needs. So one thing you can never doubt in prayer is God's willingness to answer you. He already knows that he decided to answer you. So next time you come to pray, stop thinking, who knows what God, I'm telling you what God will answer. He will tell you yes. He has even decided before you prayed. Remember that scripture? Before you call, that will answer. Are you following me this morning? Before you call, I will answer. Before you say, Jesus, I'm there. He already knows the needs. This, before I get into what I actually want to show you, this should make you confident when you come to prayer. You know, that's one of the confidence I carry to pray. Whenever I'm standing before a sick person, I want to pray for the person. I know one thing. God wants to heal this person. Like now. Why can I boldly call for a miracle service? I say, if you have the blind, bring. If you have the cripple, bring. I know God's position on the matter. He wants to heal. He has decided to heal now. And I want to tell you, you are dealing with a willing God. A God who wants to supply. So your prayer, so that when you come to pray, stop trying to give God reasons why he should give you a job. He already wants to give you the job. Are you getting what I'm saying? Stop saying, God, you know, if you give me this job, I will no longer be begging. If you give me this job, I will not be eating. Are you happy that your son, your beloved son is begging? You don't need all those drama. God knows you need have the need, and he has made up his mind on what to do. And I tell you what he decided. He decided to give it to you. Not because today is miracle service, because that is his nature. That's his character. That's who he is. Are you following me? So what happens when we pray? Since God already has a will, what happens when we pray is that we enforce that will of God upon the earth. Since we already know that even though he has a will, it's not automatic, we enforce that will of God. So here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to tell you about six things that happens when you pray. First, when you pray, the first thing your prayer does is that it begins to affect you and your heart. I'll tell you six things. It begins to affect you. So before prayer, some of you think that when you start praying, God will not stand from his throne and begin to walk. Your prayer first comes to you. Now, why is your prayer coming to you? Why is it affecting you? Because, remember I said, whenever you pray, God has given. Right? But sometimes, our heart is not in the right place to receive what God has given. Sometimes you're even asking for something, but sincerely, your heart don't even believe you will have it. The first thing that prayer will begin to do is begin to change your heart. Begin to form conviction in your heart to bring you to a place where you can have what God has given. Now, hear what I'm saying. That is why sometimes you say, why have I been praying for this for so long and God not answer? No, God has answered from the first day. But sometimes, our heart is not ready. Imagine someone is coming from, what example am I going to use? Coming from a terrible relationship and begins to pray, Father, now I want to settle, I want to marry. From the first day, God says yes. But that person will be carrying a lot of baggages from the other place, a lot of hurts. That prayer will first begin to deal with it, because if that prayer doesn't fix your heart, you will not even believe you can have the best. And even when what God is bringing to you comes your way, you will not know it. So it first begins to shape your heart, so that your heart will align. Do you know why your heart is important? Because how things work in the spirit is that your heart and your mouth must be in agreement for anything happens. I'll say that again. Your heart and your mouth. So how does salvation happen? You believe in your heart, you say with your mouth. How do we work miracles? We believe in our heart, we say with our mouth. So most times we are praying things we don't believe in our heart. You know what God will do with that prayer? He will first begin to change you, begin to shape your thoughts, your thinking. You know, there's a brother, I've been looking out for him, he's not here. I wish he was here anyway. He was in my office, very sincere brother. And he was telling me that he's sick. He told me a lot of things about his life. When he finished telling me about his life, he told me he was sick. And he told me that somebody in this church told him that God can heal him. And that he clearly told that brother that it's not possible. And that he's even telling me that it's not possible. Do you understand? Now, he was being very sincere. And if I tell you his story, you will know why he's talking like that. He knows where he's coming from. He's coming from a terrible occultic background, where he has seen things. People had even prayed for him and it did not work. So I just smiled. I told him, well, I would have prayed for you. But even if I pray for you now, you are not going to hear. So what that brother needs to do, what I told him, he has to keep praying. The first thing God will begin to fix is his heart. Are you following me this morning? Am I making sense to you? That's why Mark 11:23 tells us that if you shall say to this mountain, be removed. And if you do not doubt in your heart, you will have what you say. So heart and mouth must be in agreement. This is why sometimes we pray long. We don't pray long because God is delaying. We pray long because sometimes our heart's not even ready for what we are asking for. So God first goes to your heart and begins to fix it. And another thing God can do to your heart, for instance, is that He will begin to minister strength to you. That's sometimes, before He even begins to touch the situation, He begins to change you first. Fix your heart. Strengthen you. Some people are even tired. Some people, life has hit them so bad that are even tired. So He begins to strengthen you first. Now think about this. You applied for a job. Job number one, they didn't respond. Number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, number eight, nobody responded to you. Number nine, they now responded with rejection mail. 9, 10, 11, 12, rejection mail. You apply for the 13th one, they called you for interview. You now arrive for the interview, they see rejected you physically. And that has happened for like 19 times. And then there is the 20th job. And you want to apply. Do you know something has damaged your heart? Somehow you don't even believe that. As you are going, you feel, let me apply again. Let them say, where I did and nothing, they move me. last, you will reject me and I'll be on my way. Those circumstances have shaped your thinking. So when you begin to pray for a job, the first thing God will begin to address is that your heart. He gets there. Before you know, you are now reading the Bible, you stumble on a passage. God is encouraging you. Before you know, pastor comes to church, he begins to preach about faith. You know what God is doing? God is answering that your prayer. But he's starting with your heart. Come on, are you following what I'm talking about? So the first place he goes to is your heart. Another thing God can do to you when you pray is that he now begins to order your footsteps so that you can walk into the miracle. So that you can stumble on that post on Facebook. So that you can see the advert. So you notice the first thing prayer does is that it comes to you. The second thing prayer will do is that prayer affects men. Because anything you are asking for is within the realms of men. You are asking for a job, for instance. Who will give you a job? A man. You are asking for sales in your business. Is it angels that will buy? It's man that will buy. So what will your prayer do? I pray in the name of Jesus, my job, let me use business. My business will sell. It will sell. These goods are selling off. Your prayer travels and begins to touch men's hearts. So that as they are passing, they are just coming into your shop and they are buying. So your prayer is not actually going to move God. It's actually moving man. You know, the Bible tells us about Esther. In Esther chapter 3, chapter 4, the king has decided, you know, through Haman and all of that, to execute the Jews. And Mordecai reached out to Esther. And Esther went to pray. The Bible said after Esther fasted and prayed, to start, the first miracle was, you cannot go in to see the king without being invited. If you do, you might be executed. But for some reason, after Esther prayed, he entered, the king couldn't move. Because prayer shapes the heart of man. You know what has happened? At Esther chapter 6 from verse 1, the Bible said, that night the king could not sleep. Prayer affects man. So when you pray, never say, I prayed but nothing happened. Your prayer will be working in somebody's heart. Your prayer is making that company decide to hire you. Are you following what I'm talking about? Your prayer is working. So the king couldn't sleep that night. Esther was sleeping in her. She didn't know, but prayer had gone to work. So the king was just pacing around. Your prayer can keep kings awake. So it's not actually God that prayer moves. God already has a position in prayer. Prayer moves man. Are you following me? Many things you're asking for are within the realm of man. Within the realm of man. I'm asking for a job. Is it not a man that will give you the job? You're asking for a car. How will a car come? Either someone gifts you a car, or someone patronizes your business so much with a big deal, or you hit a very big contract. I don't think it's within the realm of man. So when you pray, your prayer is traveling to people's hearts. Shaping how they think about you. Shaping how they see you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Esther prayed. And they went to people. It will make men favor you. He went to the heart of the king. Direct to the heart of the king can fix things. And eventually the Israelites were saved. Because she prayed. But how did God do it? God had to turn a man's heart. Through prayer. Are you following me? So this idea that I prayed but nothing happened is not correct. What is actually correct most times is that I was praying, something was happening, but I stopped. Another thing about it, sometimes things are happening, you don't even know what is happening. Can I never say you prayed and nothing happened? Never. Because when you pray, something begins to happen. First, the thing begins to happen in your heart. You begin to see the situation differently. You begin to see it from another perspective. Then something begins to happen to people that are involved. People that are involved. You want to buy a property. You've been praying, Father, this year I'm buying my own landed property. You've been praying about it. Don't think nothing is working. Something is working. First, your heart is even growing to believe that you can own it. Are you following me? Then God is doing something. He's bringing some big customers your way. Some big clients your way. But maybe not only that. He's also positioning someone to put out his property for such a cheap rate. And he will make sure you meet that person and buy from the person. Prayer affects the heart of man. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Are you still here? Now, so prayer, number one, I said, affects you. It affects man. Then, you know the third thing? It begins to orchestrate situations. Such that you can just be browsing through your phone and you stumble on this post on Facebook and it's talking about one skill you need to learn. God is answering your prayers already. You know, somebody shared a story with me. There's a newborn baby, that, you know, had a lot of complications and they reached out to me about the matter. The parents too were praying serious. The person that reached out to me was one of our pastors about the matter. The child was in ICU. Are you following me? Come on, are you here this morning? The child was in ICU. So she just told me, I said, well, just be praying. Let's be praying. Let's trust God. And the parents were people of faith. They were praying too. You know, one of the things she told me, because the child is out of ICU now. Completely fine. She said, one of the things that happened is that about 2 or 3 times, they had come, is it to give the child blood or something? And for 2 or 3 times they came, it was a wrong blood that they brought. At the point of putting, they say, hey, it's not it, so they went back. 2 or 3 times. What fixed that situation? What made sure that they didn't infuse the child with the wrong? I get what I'm talking about. It is prayer. It orchestrates situation. The Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He makes sure that things will align in your favor. He makes sure that things will work the way it's meant to work. That's what prayer does. Are you following me this morning? He makes sure you're praying for safety. That's why you now find out, do you know, I just passed that junction and they began to shoot. Prayer orchestrated the situation. Prayer makes sure you miss that person. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Prayer, you're praying for a husband. Prayer can orchestrate something that you now meet someone, that will meet someone, and eventually, oh, if I tell how I met my husband there, it's a very interesting story. What fixed those things? In life, there is scarcely anything like coincidence. So let me teach you something. Stop letting things happen to you. Make things happen. And how you make things happen is in prayer. Don't stop letting things happen around you. Make things happen. In prayer, you orchestrate situations. So you notice, it is what you, when you begin to pray, stop thinking that God is going to, you know, begin to, once you pray, once you go, you are praying, God is saying, yes. So prayer goes, it begins to touch man's heart. It begins to fix things. It begins to arrange things. It begins to bring one person, bring another person. You see a company that have always been buying goods, and I'm saying this prophetically, buying goods from outside the country. But this next purchase they're going to make, they'll just say, you know, for some reason, I'm just thinking, let's buy from indigenous people. What made them make that decision? It's because you are selling that thing. Are you following me, friends? Normally, they don't employ people in this office except you have first class or you schooled abroad in one of the Ivy League schools. But this year, we'll just say, let us do something for Nigeria. Let's employ people from other schools. It's because of you. So never say, I prayed, nothing happened. There can never be a prayer that nothing happened. Are you following me, friends? Are you still here? Are you still here? So prayer orchestrates situations, arranges it, makes things happen, puts things in place, makes you meet that person, and makes you miss another person. There are people you should miss in your life. There are people you should never meet in your life. Prayer will make sure you miss them. It's a good place to shout amen, actually. Yeah. There are people that you think about it now, you wish your past never crossed with them. But you know God is going to do something for you. That's why, don't say, I was praying and nothing happened. No. When you pray, things are happening. You know, when the pastor was sharing with me, she told me when they were bringing that baby into the ICU, that the nurses were talking, they were saying, one of the nurses said, we're not promising you people anything, no. Because this doctor, when this baby dies, you will not start saying, we promised you. This is a 50-50 thing. In fact, I can tell you, it's almost 90-10. We're not promising people anything. If anything happens, can you imagine that kind of, and if you're a nurse here, if you're a doctor here, may God punish you. If it's me, but I thought that I said, if it is me, to start with, you won't attend to my baby. Because I need all the faith I can gather at the time. And I'm talking, I will tell the doctors, I don't want this particular noise. Let her not, and you have a right, come on. Let this one not attend to my baby. I don't want this one around our room. If not for one thing, I would say she's a witch. Because witchcraft is not always when you go and mix diabolic powers. Sometimes witchcraft is also when you allow the devil to use you. There are people you should miss in your life. Prayer will orchestrate those things. And it was one of those things she was saying. You know words are powerful. That's why they always bring the wrong injection. The wrong. Because those words have gone forth. And I had that issue with someone. I was in one of my cars, you know, was having issues some time ago. And it was an AC thing. I wanted to change the compressor. So this guy just said, well, bring money, I'll buy the compressor. But let me tell you, it can spoil you. We can put it immediately to stop working. I said, okay. Don't buy for me again. He said, I'm being real. I said, well, you are being real. I'm being real too. He said, you are too negative and pessimistic to touch my car. If you carry that your demonic pessimism to touch my car, it will spoil finally. So I knew what to do. I avoided that problem, that cancer. Prayer will make you miss some people. And make you meet some people. And make things work in your favor. Have you not passed a junction and they were shooting? And you just passed. And you said your prayer was not working. What orchestrated that situation? What made you miss that person? Can you remember how you met the person that helped you in business? So that's just crazy coincidence. Can you remember how you met the person that eventually employed you? I've heard many stories in this church that when I hear, I'll be like, wow. So let's just go to buy something here. How are you doing? How you guys just interact, and next thing is a contract is on your hands. He said, your prayer. Are you here this morning? And I'm telling you, we are going to pray this morning. And things will work in your favor. Things will work in your favor. Situations will align in your favor. Such that what you've been looking for will suddenly find its way to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So never say, I pray that nothing happened. Can I say one more thing? Prayer also will get angels to walk. Angels walk when we pray. So listen, when we pray, it's not God that will rise from his throne and start running to do whatever. Angels are there, but they want you to pray. They're there. The Bible tells us in Psalm 103 verse 20 that the blessed Lord, all his angels that hearken to the voice, that do his commandment, hearken to the voice of his word. So when you give the word of God a voice through your prayer, angels will act on it. That's why I said initially that when you come to pray, don't babble. Don't say anything. Say something specifically so that angels will have what to work with. Let me tell you how it is in the spirit. Once you begin to pray, angels are standing by. They want to hear what you are saying. They want to know what to act on. If you just say, Father, just bless me. Bless me is a very big statement. Say, what exactly do you want? Angels act when you pray. Angels take off when you pray. Angels can get to work when you start praying. So don't say, I prayed, but nothing happened. Once you pray, something must happen. You know, Daniel chapter 10 verse 12. Daniel chapter 10 verse 12. The angel came to Daniel. Give me that verse. Very serious. Then he said, this was an angel talking to Daniel. Read this to me, everybody. Say it unto me, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst say thou hast to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God. What did he say? So listen, which day was Daniel's word heard? From the first day. How long did Daniel pray? 21 days. When was his word said? Day one. Are you good at what I'm saying? That I'm trying to show you what I said. So, what does the angel, now said? What did the angel say? I am come for thy words. When you begin to pray, angels are working. And I'm telling you, angels will work for you. Now, it's good to shout amen, but it's not even an amen thing. Once you are praying as you should, angels are working. Angels are working. Okay, if I open my mouth to share testimonies to you, you will be some. Now that things, if I share, you will even say we are lying. And I'm asking God to give you a miracle that will sound like a lie, because angels can actually work. They can go and convince people. They can go and talk to people on your behalf. Are you what I'm talking about? They can go and they can arrange things. They can tell people to buy from you and only you. So they're just passing, and those people are just, they want to talk to you. They want to buy from you. They want to, but it's angels that do these things. And every time I begin to teach on angels, I clearly will tell you I see angelic beings. The Bible says there are an innumerable company of angels. But they will not act until you pray. Let me ask you a question. How did Jesus rise from the dead? The Holy Ghost raised him from the dead, Abby. That's what the Bible said. But do you know who removed the stone? It was angels. But angels put it and sat on it. Why did they go to remove the stone that day? Matthew 28, verse 5. Let me show you. Why did they go to remove? Why did they act on that day? Matthew 28, verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Next verse. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. So Jesus rose because he said he will rise. So what are you saying in prayer? That's what you will have. So when that day came, angels had to go and remove the stone because this man has been saying he will rise after 3 days. So today is the third day. So angels got to walk. When you pray, angels pay attention to what you say and they will act on it. So when you come to pray, you must know the God they are coming to pray to. Once you pray for the first day, he says yes. 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 From day one, yes. But then things start beginning to work. Are you know what I'm saying? Angels are walking. Your heart is aligning. Men are falling in place. Maybe there is one man there who is saying, I will never approve this. Angels are working in his heart. Situations are aligning and orchestrating around him. You know one more thing your prayer will do? Your prayer will put Satan on the run. But another reason why things delay is because Satan and his men are delaying things. You know, right? Why did Daniel's prayer delay for 21 days? Huh? The prince of Persia held it. So that's why, don't say nothing is moving when I pray. When I pray, something is moving. Sometimes what is moving is men. Sometimes what is moving are angelic beings. Sometimes what is moving are situations. Sometimes what is moving is Satan, the devil and his men. You know, Satan has many men he's working with. But that's how we pray. And I don't, you will hardly hear me start saying, hey, I bind you. I rarely do all those things. I don't ignore the devil. I resist the devil. But I don't give the devil too much attention. One word. Hey, you get out of that place. There are some of you that you've prayed. God has answered. What is still keeping the answer from manifesting is Satan. Let me tell you how he's doing it. He might have gone to the heart of one of the people that will employ you to fill his heart with bitterness against you. He said, I just don't like that name. We are not taking her. That's why you don't stop praying. That's why you hear us pray for 3 hours, 4 hours. It's not because we are trying to convince God to do anything. God already has the position. But we know there is a Satan on the earth that is okay. Are you getting what I'm saying? That I might have gone to somebody that has to say, don't give her the job. Don't give her the job. Don't give her the job. And I heard a woman of God. I think that's what's the name of this woman? Pastor Ibuku Awoshika. Great woman of God. She was sharing this story of how, you know, she owns this company and they interviewed someone for a new role, a very big role. Interviewed her or him, and the guy was qualified for the job, and they sent the thing to her desk and she approved it and called the guy and prayed for the and blessed the guy and said, the job is yours. A few days after, they came in and said, ma, we made a mistake with what we sent. We wanted to send the person that came second. So the plan was that the guy came first in the interview, but they wanted to put the person that came second. The Bible said to subvert a man in his course, the Lord does not approve of it. But for some reason, they mistakenly eventually sent the one that came first. So when they found out what they have done, they said, oh, the woman said it has been done. So that woman that day, she told her assistant, find me who this man is and who his wife is. Because I'm so sure that there was prayer going on in the background that made these people make this mistake. He said when they saw the picture, it was all these strong, deeper life women. I get what I'm saying. So someone has been at the background praying and orchestrating things. So even when they sat down and conspired that even though this guy passed the interview, we sent the person that came second, they still mistakenly sent the right thing. Talk about prayer. So the hearts of men and the devil, you know, it is devil in partnership with man that is making this world bad. But in prayer, we put both of them to run. So you don't stop praying. Your prayer is working out something. Some of you are sick in your body. You've prayed. God has said yes. But there is a devil still in. Come on, stay in prayer and insist until that thing goes. Sometimes you've prayed, but it is your heart that's not in the right place. Keep praying. God is working out something. This is why we don't pray and stop. Not because some people teach this in I teach and they say, when you pray, God says yes. That's why I don't pray too much. Just pray once. God has heard you. That's what a correct teaching. When you pray once, God has heard you. But you shouldn't stop. But there are many other factors. Sometimes your heart is not even in the right place. Your heart is in the wrong place, so you have to keep praying. Sometimes the devil is working over time. Look at Daniel. From the first day you prayed, God heard. First day, day one, God answered. But it took 21 days. You know why? Daniel stayed in prayer. So angels went to work. And I want to say to somebody, your prayers are not wasted. Ah, you said, I've been praying over that. Don't stop. It's not wasted. God is working. Angels are working. Men are aligning. Situations are falling in place. The Bible says, resist the devil. He will flee. Resist him, he will flee. So you've been praying. He said, nothing is happening. That can never be. Never. Sir, when you lay hands on people, when does the power go? From the first time I put hand, power has moved. First time, I know this and I'm telling you. Not that I lay hands two or three times, but I know from the first time. Just that sometimes that person says something else. Have you observed that when we have our miracle crusades, watch what always happens. We'll finish praying. We'll say, if you've received your healing, come and testify. Come and testify. Come and testify. Before you know, one person will come. Second person. Once the first, second, third person is called, people start coming out the more. What is happening is that once the first person comes, second person comes, people start realigning. They begin to say, it's true. I miss me. I can't even get my healing. It begins to happen to them. Don't stop. Don't stop praying. You know the last thing that happens in prayer? Prayer makes power available. You already standing. Stand on your feet. Let's start closing one day. Prayer makes power available. No. Prayer makes tremendous power available to fix whatever situation. James 5:16 with Amplified Classic. The last part of it said, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in its working. So whenever you are praying over your admission, prayer is making power available. So when I pray over my studies, what happens? You are praying over your studies. The first thing you are going to see is that prayer begins to change you. One of the first changes that prayer will do to you, some students don't even believe they can have a first class. That prayer begins to give you a new conviction. That prayer now begins to touch a few other things. Give you much strength to read. Power made available. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. So there is power in every believer. But that power will not change anything. It is prayer that will make that power available. So prayer is not how we receive power. The believer is carrying, there is power working in the believer. But when you pray, you make that power available. This morning I'm going to ask you to pray. God never says no. Did you understand it? So actually, it is not God we move with prayer. It is situations we move. It is man that we move. It is the devil that we move, not God. God is consistent. He has a consistent character. He has, immediately open your mouth to say, in the name of Jesus, he said, yes, I've given. I'm giving. The day I learned this and I'm still learning it, it made me confident. That's why if I pray any prayer, I'm going to stay until I see it come to pass. Because I know that once I pray, God has released it from his hand. So this is point A. This is God. This is the point of the answer. Once you pray about anything, that thing leaves point A immediately. Are you following me? Then it begins to get to the answer, the place where you see manifestation. Along the line, there may be a man in the office who is saying, I don't even think we should employ anybody now. Maybe I'm praying for a job. So, but you keep praying. Your prayer is not to change point A. Point A has happened. God has moved. But then suddenly the man says, well, I think I'm going to reconsider. The prayer is, manifestation is happening. Then you get to a point, Satan resists his man. And they say, no, before you know, Satan begins to fight. But you keep praying. As you are doing that, angels are working, putting things in place. But this morning, I'm going to ask you to pray. Cancers will disappear. Jobs will come. You know, I've been using many job examples this morning. And I just took note of it just a few minutes ago. people are going to get jobs. Contracts will be sealed. That's not because I'm a powerful man of God. I'm just telling, I just explained to you, because you will pray. And once you pray, God answers. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jobs will be given. Sicknesses will be healed. Provisions will happen. There will be financial supplies. Financial supplies. Someone is going for something. That thing is at its final stage. But what you now need is just money to finalize it. That supply is coming. Some of you, that supply will come as an idea. Some of it will come as someone just showing up for you. It will come without compromise. You don't need to do anything for it. You don't need to kill. You don't need to compromise. Some of you will find that this week, the patronage of your business will speed up. That's why if you do not pray over any matter, you've left that matter to chance. In fact, scratch that. You've left that matter in the hands of the devil. Because the devil loves ungoverned spaces. So when you say, I'm just going to leave it, Satan begins to manipulate things. You know, Satan does not act like God. With God, if you don't invite him, he stays out. With Satan, whether you invite him or not, he shows up. So with God, if you do not pray over your career, he wants to help you, but he will not interfere. With Satan, whether you pray, pray, he's going to try to come. He loves spaces where you're not even doing anything about. So when a believer takes a standpoint of, I'm not going to pray, means if I go just day my day, he has allowed the devil to run riot. This morning, I'm going to ask you to be specific in your prayer. Pick one thing, two things, three things, and we are going to pray. Once we start, don't stop until I ask you to. And you will see what, because once you start, God, I'm seeing angels, mountain and places in this place, waiting to take your orders. So lift your voice now and pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost, but be specific what you're asking for. The job, the career, the visa, the house, the land, the financial supply, the marriage, the admission. Today is for praying for physical needs. We're going to pray for souls and start the fire. But for now, there's an atmosphere for miracles in this place. Wherever you pray, God answers. And some people that have tested this thing in this church, and I've seen it, that I love how they're praying. We've seen this thing happen again and again. That a man can stand up to pray, and situations will begin to align, and men will begin to agree, and the angels will get to work, and demons will be on the run. Online, on ground, there's a miracle everywhere, but you have to pray. Nothing changes until you begin to pray. God has taken a position. God has said yes. God wants to answer. Stay in prayer. That devil holding it down is breaking off. People's will are aligning. Situations are falling in place. Even your own will is being affected. Your own heart is coming in alignment. Your own heart is coming in alignment. My God. Pray. Don't think. Pray. Be specific. Angels are taking orders. This is what God does in prayer. Speak over the deal. Speak over the contract. Speak about that man that has said there is no way. Speak about that man that said it must ekayade kobaranda. Talk to God about the matter. He can fix the heart of man. He can get in the way for you. Hey, ama jonde raba kembra de la kaya. Speak to him about your studies. About your studies, about your career. Yes, 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 yes. You have some more minutes. Use it and pray. Prayer time is not wasted time. Prayer time is not wasted time. Speak about that baby you are expecting. Command that pain in your body to disappear. Speak to that lump in your breast to disappear. Command that fibroid to be gone. Speak to your eyesight to be restored. Yes. Speak to your eyesight to be restored. Many of you, as you are praying, God will begin to show you what you've been doing wrongly, that you need to correct. God will begin to show you how you must align yourself. Take responsibility in prayer. Yes, that's how to pray. God hears your own prayer, your own. He hears your own prayer. You are not God's grandson, you are His child. Pray. Pray. Angels are taking notes. The effectual, heartfelt, continuous prayer of the righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. God has taken a position to bless you. In prayer, you are agreeing with Him. In prayer, you are aligning with Him. In prayer, you are taking sides with Him. In prayer, you are saying to Him, yes, I accept what you are giving me. Belongs to you in heaven and the earth. All power belongs to you. Yeah, make sure you're praying. I belong to you.
All Babylon to you. In heaven and the earth. All Babylon. Ike di le di na kage. All Babylon to you. In heaven and the earth. All Babylon. To Most High, the God of heaven. Most High, the ruler of the earth. Aya!
The Lord of nations.
To God Most High.
To God Most High.
To God Most High. Answers are here. Answers are here. Miracles are among us. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Poisons are disappearing from your system. Jesus' name we pray. Poisons are disappearing from your system. That satanic hold on you is thereby broken. That demonic hold on your life and your family is thereby broken. That demonic hold on your family is hereby broken. In the name of Jesus. That evil pattern. Mekona, Shinemba. I'm hearing that scripture. To subvert a man in his course, the Lord does not approve of it. That satanic pattern.
where your people work so hard, but for some reason it goes to another person. That pattern is ended now. That pattern is ended now. And what is due you is coming your way. What is due you is coming your way. And some things you do not even deserve are coming to you by the instrumentality of God's favor. And I heard the Lord say, I should say to someone, you've not wasted your days. You feel I've wasted time, I've wasted my years. The Lord said there is a new sheet is presenting you. He said, I'm writing a new story. I heard it from the Lord. You feel you wasted your time and your days and your important days and you just feel there's nothing to you again. God is saying, I'm writing a new story. Things will open up afresh. Things will open up afresh. Doors will open up afresh. Doors will open up afresh. Lost opportunities are being represented again. Missed opportunities are being represented again. Where there was no way, there is now a way. The mercy of God. The mercy of God. I see it strong in this place. The mercy of God. Giving you, gerando shataya, things you lost by your carelessness. The mercy of God are bringing those things your way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sicknesses are being healed. Pains are disappearing. Eyesights are being corrected. Ear conditions are being healed right now. Broken bones are fixed. Even open wounds are healed right now. Across all the centers, let miracles begin to happen. In the name of Jesus. Booked for surgery, we cancel the surgery. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You spoke to me about jobs. Let those jobs begin to come now. Everyone here that is trusting you for a job, thank you, Lord Jesus. In this week, may things begin to fall in place. May things begin to fall in place. Let interviews begin to come up. Let interviews begin to come up. Let the favor of God cause you to be preferred. Let men prefer you. May men prefer you. In the name of Jesus. This week, your voice carries the favor of God. This week, your face carries the favor of God. That job is coming your way. That job is coming your way. That job is coming your way. By the word of the prophets, which has never failed. This week, there shall be miraculous testimonies of jobs gotten. The ones that said they will get back to you, they are getting back to you this week. The ones you've applied have not responded, they will respond this week. And some new ones will begin, some new processes will begin this week. And here what God is saying, I should say to you, a new process will begin this week. He said, don't forget I started it. It must work. So even when they give you a negative response, stand on this word and keep saying it. Because when he starts setting, he will finish it. May families receive help. May families receive help. May families receive help. In the name of Jesus. May businesses receive life. Struggling businesses receive life. Struggling businesses receive life. This week will be the beginning of the best sales you've ever had in your life. And I speak over you, visibility. Visibility. Men will begin to know you. Men will begin to notice you. People will know about that business. And they will be interested. May the Lord announce you in strange lands. this week you will get calls from places you never knew you and people even know you from. And the zeal of the Lord will perform it. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Increase in finances. Property acquisitions. Cars, lands, houses. Laptops, phones. Things that you need. Property acquisitions. May they come your way. In the name of Jesus. There are specific people the Lord said I should pray for. You're trusting the Lord to acquire some equipment specifically because of your business. You want to start a new business, but you need some equipment. Or you've started, but you need to upscale. You need to get more things. Please raise your hands. Let me pray for you. May the God I serve bring the equipment you need your way. May he make the supply available. In 1 month time, you will look back to this prayer. And you will see that God has done everything. May he bring the right contacts your way. May he bring the right people around your path. May he bring the right associations your way. In the name of Jesus. Those equipments are here. They are here. Some people find them at ridiculously cheap rates. Don't be afraid. It's not scam. It is the Lord answering his prayers. The doors are open now. The flow is flowing now. The flow is flowing now. The flow is flowing now. Water flowing from the rock. The wilderness becoming a fruitful land. It's happening already. Dry lands becoming wet. In the name of Jesus. The days of rejoicing are here. The days of joy are here. And why are we rejoicing? Because the Lord has turned again the captivity of Zion. And we are like them that dream. And the heathen said, the Lord has done great things for us. Hey! You know, I actually see what I'm saying in the spirit. Because I see a lot of people rejoicing. I see a lot of people rejoicing. I see chains broken. I see chains broken. I see chains broken. I see sickness is healed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see chains broken. I see sickness is healed. I see embargoes lifted. Satanic embargoes lifted. I see barriers removed. I see people running. Taking steps beyond the way they have taken before. I see new contracts signed. I see new opportunities opening up. I see students rejoicing. Because it will work in your favor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see angels walking. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All the promises of God in him are yea and amen. And he has brought the answer. Everybody that is sick here, you are no longer sick now. Now that's not a prayer. That is for you to check yourself. And do with your body whatever you couldn't do with it before. If you had an eye condition, check. You can read well now. Check. If you had an ear condition, close that ear that was bad. Check the other one. The other one is now working. Check, 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 check. I'm telling you, by the power of God, confidently. If you had a pain on your chest, check, it's gone. If you had a pain on your waist, check, it's gone. Be checking because I'm going to ask you to identify now. I've mentioned someone that was poisoned. That thing has just left your system. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Migraine has gone. Goiter has gone. Skin rashes and infections have disappeared. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Have you checked yourself? Check yourself. I want to really check. I'm giving you time. Have you checked yourself? Have you checked yourself? Check. Now, if you've checked yourself and you've received your healing, let me see your hands go up. Just your hands, just your right hand up on the air. Check yourself. Okay, I'm seeing the paper says, okay, that's good. Just raise it up, raise it up. This is beautiful. What was wrong with you? Your ear was, you are having ear problem. It was blocked. Yeah? Bleeding. Before you came to this service? Since last month. Are you fine now? Check. Do you feel any pain at all? So you are fine now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm seeing many more hands. Check yourself. Keep your hands up so they can encourage others. Check yourself. Check your body. Check that pain. Check that pain on your hand. Check that pain in your shoulder is disappearing. Thank you, Lord. I pointed you because I saw the hand of the Lord come upon you when I was praying. That's why I asked you. I want to know what happened to you. Glory to God. I wish you could. And after this service, please, let's take the testimonies outside. Just, they should feel the testimonies sleep so that we can have them. Are we grateful to God this morning? These healings we recorded are showing you that everything you asked for has been sorted. And this week, you will dance. Listen, the month of July shall be for establishments. The Lord will establish you. The Lord will establish you. The Lord will perfect that which concerns you. He will perfect that which concerns you. He will establish you and perfect that which concerns you. And some of you, especially some of you that are in business, I see establishments coming. It will get stronger. Your business will get stronger. It will get stronger. You will no longer waver. It will get stronger. I actually see it is getting solidified. That plan will be established in the coming months. How many of you want to launch your business in the next month? If you want to launch next month, hear me. It is done already. Begin to shout if you are part of one of them. Begin to shout if you are one of them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just sense an anointing here. Is there another person that has an ear problem that you've not gotten your healing already? I just sense. Yeah, come. I just sense that anointing goes through my hand right now. Which of your ears? What's wrong with it? You hear better with this. With this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are healed now. Ear open now. You foul devil shutting down this ear. Be gone. In Jesus' name. So you close that ear. So, I don't know how we're going to test this. Only you will know if you're fine. Very well yet. Okay. You know you can pray two times. So open completely. In Jesus' name. Open completely. Hear brighter than the other one. In Jesus' name.
One.
Is it better now?
Yes, sir.
Is it brighter now?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. How long has your ear been this bad? Oh, they're speaking. A big ear like you. It's amateur. Since you are born. Who knows about this? Okay, you know about it. They say you. Glory to God. Do you want to give praise to God this morning? Lift your hands and just bless Him. God is working. It's permanent. It's not getting bad again. You alone art worthy, Lord.
To be praised and adored.
You alone are worthy, Lord.
You alone are worthy, Lord.
You alone are worthy, Lord. Sing, come on.
To be praised and adored.
You've been faithful, Lord.
You've been faithful.
Message from someone. He said, Papa, I came to church with pile. I've told the pharmacist about it yesterday, but I am perfectly healed now. I can't feel any pain anymore. I just jumped like it's nothing and I feel nothing. Do you want to shout a loud amen? Glory! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you excited this morning? Let's do that song. He's so amazing. Have you guys spoken up now?
That the God who made the heaven.
Yes.
Great is your love for me.
Everybody sing it. That's how we're closing.
You love me with mercy in the morning.
One more time.
He's so amazing.
Oh yes.
That the God who made the heaven.
Great is your love
for me.
You love me with mercy.
You love me with mercy in the morning. In goodness at night time. In and out of season. I'm basking in your grace.
Oh,
my
amazing.
He's so amazing.
Your heart all the time. The sweetest love chords. Glory to God. Wow, what a service, man. We've been so blessed. I think we have to close now. Hallelujah. Have your seats. Let's close already.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.